Now, when you think about the algorithm, when you think about clinical research, when you think about this whole area, where does the location of the primary sort of fit in?
Well, it does matter. You haven't heard a lot about this because the Bonner trial was only 400 some odd patients. But if you actually look at the subsets of the disease site in the trial, you'll see that there was really one site, the oropharynx, that had a huge benefit. You'd expect that. It's the most radiosensitive. Whereas the larynx and hypopharynx, not so much. Those survival differences are lower. Now, granted, the populations and the number of patients there are lower, but we know that there are more difficult areas to achieve long-term cure than others. And so site makes a very big difference. If you are talking about a patient who has lymph node positivity and is an oropharynx primary, you're more apt to rely more on the radiation as a primary therapy and less so on chemotherapy to cure that patient. However, if they're a base of the tongue or hypopharynx, and those are the patients that, again, radiotherapy works okay, but you want a little bit more help with chemotherapy, now is when you start thinking about induction or using the high-dose cisplatin.
Is there any way you can try to sort out intuitively why differences in different locations might respond differently? And also, does that apply when you correct for stage?
Well, staging is tough too, because everyone is basically a stage 3-4 that we see. If you have any lymph node positivity, you become a 3, and if the lymph node is greater than 1, you become a stage 4 essentially. And you have three different stage 4s based on the size of the tumor. So a stage 4 in head and neck is not necessarily a stage 4 in breast. That just means that you have locally advanced disease that's metastatic to the lymph nodes that are local. And so everyone we treat is essentially a 3 and a 4. The stage 1s and 2s will largely benefit from just local therapy, either with radiation or surgery, again, depending on the site. When we consider those factors, that's one of the problems in head and neck that you're touching on, is that it is really a conglomeration of diseases. And that's why a lot of people don't like to go into the field. It's tough to separate out those factors. Sometimes the tumors cross boundaries, so you don't know if it's originating in the base of the tongue or in the piriform sinus, or if there's extension from the oral cavity, if it extended up or extended down. So these are all the variables, and we know that something, for instance, like oral tongue cancers or oral cavity cancers do not respond well to radiotherapy. They generally don't respond well to chemotherapy, and really surgery is the best option for many of these patients. So it does require a little bit more study. I think down the road, we're going to try and be a little bit more homogeneous as far as the site of tumor origin and testing those patients prospectively. But right now, we're extremely happy to answer the questions that we can. We always got to answer the forest first, and then we'll start picking apart the trees and seeing what's best. Maybe cisplatin isn't best for the oropharynx tumors because those are very highly sensitive to radiotherapy, and it's overkill when we use cisplatin like that. Whereas we shouldn't use other drugs per se, or lower dose drugs in more unfavorable sites like hypopharynx, because of the fact is that these tend to do more poorly. Now, there have been hypotheses as far as why this is. Larynx tumors tend to do pretty well because they're earlier diagnosed, just like oral cavity. You get those symptoms earlier on. It's more about getting the early symptoms versus having insidious symptoms. We know that in the hypopharynx, these things do the worst because the different symptoms are very silent, and you just might have a little fullness in your throat. And by the time they get diagnosed, they're usually a little bit more advanced stage.